Today on the Goblin's Corner.
Card games. Oh, that's right. It's a radio show. You can't actually see the flourish.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're talking about fun card games.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not talking about role-playing stuff. We're talking about card games. Stuff that you might be able to bring to your friend's house at a party.
Sure. Although one of the games that you're doing specifically is kind of role-playing-ish.
Sure. Well, two of them could technically be called role-playing. I mean, one of them's just a rules game, which if you're a rules lawyer, you will like. And then the other two, one is D&D light, D&D based. And then the third is definitely fitting for the Goblin's Corner, I think.
Yeah.
So we've got three games each that we're going to talk about. We're not going to go too in-depth into the weeds. We're not going to talk too much about the rules. We're going to give you guys a basic overview why we think they're awesome and why we own these games and why you should own them or at least bring them to your next party as well. But before we get to that whole point, what's going on with you?
Oh, you know, I was hoping to get to work on the project. But with all of the weather and everything, that got put off. So I've been working on some microgreen gardening at the house.
So for those of you who don't, can I say it on this show?
Sure.
Since you used such a deep voice for when you're talking about the project, Matt is converting a bus, specifically an old school bus, into a mobile home.
That is correct.
He will then roam with his wife across all of North America as it either floods or burns to the ground.
Sure. Dodging earthquakes and
wildfires,
tornadoes,
earthquakes, plagues,
hurricanes. Yeah.
Absolutely. At least we've got a good... So when the zombie apocalypse happens, people, come see us. We've got the getaway van.
Yes, but don't come see us if you've been bitten.
No. We will check you for bites.
Yes. But we won't waste ammo. That's what the hammer's for. But anyway. So, how about you? What have you been up to?
Honestly, I've been making things.
So what have you been making?
Well, I've been creating a couple of different things. I've got a whole lot of just junk foam lying around from packaging boxes. I had, you know, we had to buy a washer and dryer a month ago. So I've been taking a lot of that cheap foam and trying to figure out something to do with it. You can't throw it away. Well, you can, but nobody wants to take it. You can't recycle it. But what you can do is upcycle it into dungeon tiles. And so I've been making some dungeon tiles. I've got a whole bunch, and I'll post some pictures on our website or maybe on our Instagram page. I've got a couple of, I guess, stone columns is what did you call these things? Stone columns? Like scatter terrain?
Well, I think the scatter terrain is... I mean, technically they're stone columns, but they're like pillars. They're small buttes. Think national park, right? My brain just went on
hoodoos.
Vacation.
They're hoodoos.
Hoodoos?
Yeah, that's a word, right? I'm saying
that hoodoos. That is a word, but I believe it's the wrong.
I'm going to use it as I'm going to say that they're hoodoos, regardless of whether I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. Yeah. So I've been doing a lot of those. I have been watching a lot of YouTube videos on crafting. I love watching that stuff anyway. So people like, you know, DM Scotty, Wylock, Black Magic Craft, Frankie D. Crafter, all those guys, which, by the way, we'll send some links. I don't know these guys personally, but I like watching their stuff. And so I've learned a lot about just making dungeon tiles and dungeon terrain. And visual aids in general for D&D are really fun to craft. I can do them during the day when I'm slow at work or something like that, or I can do them at night when I'm, you know, when I want something to do with my hands instead of stare at a screen all day and instead of playing video games.
Right. Well, when there's finally some peace and quiet in the world.
Oh, yeah. There's that too.
But today we are discussing
card game. Flourish. Whew. You never see the prestige, guys. Card games. Now, before we get to those card games, though, you actually have a question of the week.
I do.
Which, I believe, is card game related.
It is. Well, I figured since we were going to discuss some card games, what is your favorite party card game? We like hearing about new games or games that are new to us anyway, so let us know.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
I would say, God, that's a toss-up. I mean, I would tell you the best card game, especially if you're just partying, is some old school poker or some spades. Spades because of the trash talking, because right. I will talk shit at a spades game.
No.
Regardless of, I may lose.
Especially if you're losing.
I will lose, yeah, that's when you talk even more. I love playing spades. We don't get a chance to really do that a lot lately. And I like playing poker as well.
I am a big poker fan, as you're aware.
Are you, what would you consider the best poker?
Amongst friends, I'm a 5-card draw guy.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just playing out, then, you know, No Limit Hold'em is where I want to go.
So a little Texas Hold'em?
Yep.
I like those. I like 7-card as well. I like just playing cards in general. Go fish.
War.
War? Yeah, you can play a little war. Some bullshit.
Yep. Now, I will say, if I'm playing those sorts of card games at a party, that is going to be a party with
a lot
people I am entirely comfortable with. Because I trash talk and I don't play nice. And so, for me, I want to be at a party where I am 100% comfortable with everybody who's playing with me, because I'm not actually trying to hurt people's feelings.
Every time there's been a spades game at a party, it's at least 2:00 in the morning.
Right.
And everybody is hammered.
Which is why
the spades game breaks out. Or well, poker. Sometimes people will come over for a friendly game of poker.
But poker, we usually start, when we do play, we usually start a little earlier and people get progressively drunk.
Well, yeah. That's we play. Again, a lot of us sometimes play to lose, too. Because if you're really being mean, you don't play with chips, you play with shots.
Sure.
Which we've played before. I don't recommend it. Because you end up, unless you're the size of my friend here, who literally weighs double what
twice.
I weigh. Yeah,
yes,
twice what I weigh. You will end up destroyed in the morning. But it happens. Now, in addition to the typical card games like spades and poker and stuff like that, I would say for party games, Magic the Gathering. Does anybody still play that anymore? I do something that I think that other people should do, because Magic the Gathering, which apparently it's had a resurgence, or maybe it never went away and I just didn't think about it. But there's a lot more people that are playing it now than maybe in the last couple of years. I think it's because a bunch of guys who collected Magic cards had kids and then they started playing it.
I think it's just the proliferation of geek culture, where there have always been a lot of people playing Magic and other collectible card games. And now it's more acceptable, and now there's more media for it. Like, there's 1,000 platforms, YouTube, Facebook.
And you can play it online, too.
Yeah.
Sure. What we do is, instead of just everybody brings a deck, because then it really comes down to how much money do you have to build a deck, we do a community deck. And what that means is I have a whole bunch of cards, land cards, creature cards, you name it, from various different times when I collected, or, you know, someone gave me their cards. Oh, moving out, I don't want these cards anymore, I never play. Do you think your kids would want them? Sure, give them to me. And so we have a community deck. So it's a bunch of different cards. We give everybody like 10, 15 minutes to just grab a bunch of random stack of cards. Or sometimes we'll deal them out.
Right.
And be like, here's your deck. If you don't have enough creatures, then you can, you know, get more cards. And we have them build from the community deck, and then we can all play. And then the smack talk begins. Because that's another game where we play smack talk.
Every game.
Okay, fair enough.
We play is filled with trash talk.
Pretty much all three of these games that I'm reviewing tonight, we will definitely have smack talk in them.
Especially the middle one.
Yes. What is your party game?
You know, honestly, I love card games. It's a very difficult question for me because I'm extremely social at parties. So for me, I usually am the guy running around making drinks, hanging out. I usually don't necessarily play a lot at parties. If I do, 99% of the time it's going to end up being Cards Against Humanity, because that's a game where the rules are super easy and most everybody is familiar.
And with the kind of friends we have, that's pretty much where their mind goes after a couple drinks anyway.
Sure. We're all amazingly loving, terrible people.
Yep. Which is interesting, because that is actually one of the games we are not reviewing tonight.
Nope.
We are talking about three that you may or may not have heard of. I think most people have heard of two of the ones that I have. I actually haven't heard of some of the ones, one of the ones that you have. So I'm interested to hear about that.
Sure. I feel like we've hidden the premise here. Like, what games am I doing? I'm going to be doing Smash Up, and I'll be doing collectible card games in general and Dungeon Mayhem.
And I will be telling you guys about Flux, Munchkin, and I, Dark Overlord.
You want to start us off?
Sure. Let's start off with what I consider to be the easiest and hardest game, Flux. And for those of you who've never played Flux, it's very simple. They make a ton of different types of Flux games. There's Cthulhu Flux, there's Monty Python Flux, there's, I think, Batman Flux. I don't know. There's
114 possible Flux options.
Yeah, there's tons. Are there really?
I completely made up that number, but it was. See, you believed it because it was totally viable.
Do you see my face? It looks very believing. I completely assume that Matt actually did some research for the show, and I thought that it was, he literally is like, because he stared straight at me, guys. He could have passed a polygraph saying, yes, there are 114 Flux card sets. And I would have been like, damn, I need to get some more Flux cards. I only got like three.
Well, you, Zombie, Star Trek, but not Star Trek.
I have Zombie Flux too. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I have no idea how many there are, but there are very, very, very many.
Let's talk a little bit about like what Flux is.
Okay.
So it's not a typical card game in that you have specific rules and the object of the game is to win whatever that is. Now, Flux, you do have like a goal to win, but the problem with Flux is that the goal changes. It is a constantly moving card game.
Hence the name.
Yes. Its most basic rule is to start off and play one card and draw one card. That's it. You play a card, you draw a card. Every round, someone has a card, someone leaves a card. But there are several different types of cards that you can choose from. So let's talk a little bit about what I'm talking about. You have, first off, you have the rule cards. We'll get to those in a second because those we can get into depth about. How do you win? You have a goal card and you will play a goal. The goal might be to get two of the specific cards that are picture cards. They're called keepers. So you might have, for example, a milk card and a cookies card. And the goal might be, if milk and cookies is on the board, then you win the game. Now, the problem remains is that when you are drawing a goal, the person next to you on the next round could place another goal, literally changing the object of winning the game in one turn.
But you can also end up with multiple goals unless you have a rule card out that says you can only have one goal.
Yep. So follow with me on this, guys, because I don't have any visual aids. Play one card, draw one card, you throw down a goal, that's the goal. If you have the keepers, which is what they're called, the picture cards, then you play those down, kind of like you're playing land in Magic, you just throw them down on your table,
right,
and you keep them. Then, if you have those two cards on the table, when that goal is played, or if the goal sticks around long enough, then you win. That is the most basic way to play. Now, let's talk about how it's all fucked up. The first part is the action cards and the rule cards. Action cards are pretty much what you think. They're one-time use. You can use them, I think, some of them you can use at any time. Some of them you can only use on your turn. And they change the nature of the game a lot. So they will, for example, they might make an opponent lose all of his cards. They might make an opponent swap hands with another player. They might level the playing board. So because there are rule cards that literally change the rules of the game, they might just wipe it clean. Or they might remove cards from somebody else's deck or on the table and so forth. So there would be what you play if you want to get the upper hand at somebody.
Yep.
And the object, of course, is to, you know, accumulate more keepers and change the rules that benefit you. Now, we have keeper cards as well. And as I mentioned, they're pictures. So you might have milk and cookies or love and war, peace. There's a, and that's just from like the basic set. There's bunches of other keepers.
I've played primarily Zombie Flux. So for me, I'm like the gas can and the truck. That's sure. What you will always need is the gas can and the truck.
Yep. Those are just general goals cards that you would play down. And if you have those on your table, in your person, and the goal is played, you win. Great. Now, here's a problem. In addition to those keeper cards, they have what are called creeper cards. You remember creepers, Matt?
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about those.
So creeper cards, now keep in mind, you've played far more often than I, but creeper cards are cards that prevent, they can either, maybe I don't know. It's been so long.
They keep you from winning, usually.
Oh, yeah. As long as you have creepers, then you can't win. You have to be able to get rid of your creepers
first.
Yeah,
so if you draw a creeper from the deck, then you have to immediately play it, and you cannot win unless that creeper disappears. So you could use an action card to reset your hand or your board and maybe get rid of that creeper. But
I'd forgotten completely about that. Anytime you draw a creeper, you play the creeper on yourself.
Yeah.
To clarify, yeah.
And here's the fun part now. Now we've got those rule cards. And this is the big thing about Flux, because the rule changes. Here's the most basic example. Draw one card, play one card. You might throw down, draw three. So now it's everybody changes to, on your hand, draw three, play one. Or you might throw a leave five. So now you draw three and play five, which means everybody's going to run out of cards pretty soon.
Certainly.
It can get pretty ridiculous, because I think at one point you can stack multiple rules on top of each other.
Correct.
You can also change the rules so that creepers, you have to have a specific creeper to win the game.
Or even a certain number of creepers.
There's also some cards that bounce between players. So, for example, the radioactive potato kind of plays hot potato with everybody at some point in the game.
Right.
You also have rules that change the direction of play. So you go reverse or forward or skip players. There are rules that whenever someone plays a certain type of card, something happens. There are rules if someone has a specific amount of cards in their hand or a lack of cards in their hand. They either get extra cards or people give them their cards. So imagine any type of twisted rule that goes with that, and that's Flux. This is why it is awful and amazing at the same time, because if you get the right hand of cards, you can royally mess with everybody else, and it is so much fun. I love this game. I every time I see a Flux game that I haven't bought, I go and buy it when I remember to.
The card that you will come to love the most is the reset card, which removes all the rules.
Yes, because at some point in the game, everyone's just like, draw 12, play 8. And you have more cards in your hand than the deck is on the table. And you're just like, somebody, please, for the love of God, play the reset.
Yeah, you're literally having to reshuffle the deck between every full round of play.
It just gets ridiculous over time.
Yep.
But it is a fun game. Sometimes it can take a while to play. I think usually like 30 minutes sometimes.
It depends on the number of players.
Yeah.
The fewer players you have, oftentimes it plays through more quickly. But the more players you have, because the keepers get spread further apart, the more difficult it can be to reach the end goal at any point.
And at that point, it can get kind of ridiculous then. But it can also be pretty quick. If you set up the goals really quick, or you have the right hand, sometimes it can only be like a couple of rounds.
Yep. Now, I will say this. The game mentions that you can mix and match.
And you should.
But unless you want to be there for a 5-hour game, do not mix and match more decks than you have people ever.
I can agree to that. That would just be ripe for failure.
In fact, for me, I would say the number of players minus one is the number of decks you should probably have.
I could see a four-person game with one deck.
Oh, no, you absolutely can use fewer, but you definitely should not use more.
Oh, I wouldn't go three decks with four people. I'd go two. Because, yeah, it would take forever. You know what's even worse, though? We played a game, I can't remember who I played with now. I probably won't say it on the air, but I played with a group of friends, and they were missing half the cards out of one of their decks. And most of them were the keeper cards, but they had all the goals.
Really?
That was awful. Because we're just like, who has this goddamn card? And nobody had it.
Right. And there's literally no way to win because there are cards missing.
Yeah.
That is awful.
And the only way we won, or the game ended, was we just kept resetting it and reshuffling until someone reset the deck until they got a goal that actually worked. And that took forever. So, yeah, that's another reason why I wouldn't play with multiple decks unless you have all the cards and you know where they are.
Sure. I generally wouldn't play with anyone other than probably you, because you are very fastidious about ensuring that you have all of the pieces of the things which you are attempting to accomplish.
That's really nice of you to say. What he means is that I don't let people bend my books, and I generally keep all my cards in one place.
Probably
the only organized part of my life.
For example, if I pull out your zombie flux right now, it will have all of the zombie cards, and it will have only the zombie cards. I won't find anything from space flux, from time traveling flux. It will be the entire zombie deck and only the zombie deck.
There's Doctor Who flux. I forgot about that. Yeah, so play Flux. It's a fun game. As I mentioned, we've got a couple others as well, but I think this is a good starter game. One thing I like about Flux, before I move on to the next couple games, is I like Flux because you can literally play with a bunch of friends with one pack. You keep it in your pocket, so you're not carrying around a bunch of crap. You just whip out your pack of Flux, start playing it. Don't give me that look.
That almost went sideways.
How dare you?
I'm glad you specified.
So let's talk about the next one. The next game, Munchkin. A lot of people have heard about it. A lot of people have played it. Munchkin is just fun. Yeah. I just love playing Munchkin. There's a lot. There tends to be more setup with Munchkin, and the rules tend to be for people who don't play role-playing games, which probably aren't our listeners.
And probably aren't necessarily people who are going to be playing Munchkin a lot. But.
Right. But for the rest of you guys, it's pretty standard. You have, it's an old-school dungeon crawl just with cards.
Yep.
The object of the game, get to level 10. By fighting monsters.
Yeah, that sounds so easy.
Except the other object of the game is to fuck over everybody else.
Well, the object is to prevent them from getting to level 10.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I mean. What kind of cards do you have? Well, we've got a couple. There's really only two types of cards, but there's, I guess, subclasses in that. You have treasure cards and you have door cards.
Mm-hmm.
And in a combat scenario or on your turn, on your turn, you kick down the door, and you are either presented with like an item or treasure or a monster. And the monster cards have little stats. And let me back up actually before I get to the monster stats. You start off as a first level creature, which means you have one attack and one defense.
Right.
Am I right? Do I remember that? Yeah. One attack and one defense. You can fight a 1/1 creature. Now, if you beat the 1/1 creature, then you go up to level 2. Now you have 2 attack and 2 defense.
Correct. Well, no. It's just your level.
Oh, yeah. So
your
it's
level
not even attack
is
defense.
Your attack
just,
and defense.
Yeah, so it's the attack and defense are the same. If the numbers don't match up, if you're equal to or greater than the number of the monster,
right,
then you win.
By the time you're done playing cards and other people are done playing cards, your level has to be higher than its level.
That's correct. So at its most basic, you are a first level human. You can attack a level 1 creature and go up a level, and then you become a level 2 human. Now, there are other types of cards which can, I believe, and I can't remember if they're all treasures or all door and treasures. I think they're a mix of both, because there's different types of Munchkin games as well. But you have monster cards, obviously, things you fight.
Right.
And by the way, if you don't have the level to defeat the monster when you kick down the door, then you either die, or you can flee, or other people can help you attack, and usually when they do that, they want to get a piece of your treasure. There's also racial cards.
Right.
So elf, dwarf, what else? I know there are elves and dwarves. I can't remember what else.
I think that's it in the base.
In the base game, yeah. And they give specific bonuses as well. So, for example, I think dwarves let you carry extra equipment.
I think so.
I'll have to go look that up.
You also get class cards.
Yes. And traditionally in the Munch game, there's like wizard and fighter.
Thief.
Yeah. And they give you certain abilities. So, for example, I believe the fighter does extra damage.
Well, so...
It's really hard to remember the rules when I'm not looking at the cards right now.
Right. Well, one of the things is each class can wear certain gear.
Ah, that's right.
And
yes.
Other classes can't wear it. And so you could get the Cloak of Invisibility for the rogue, and that would allow you to skip one monster, something like that. Whereas a shield might give +2 to your fighter's level because now he's got some defense.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the item cards then, since we're talking about that. So you have these different classes. They can wear different item cards. You can pull treasure cards that give you bonuses to your attack.
Right.
And so you can wear armor.
Right.
And you can wear, you can have different attack abilities as well.
Sure.
And then there's a card called Super Munchkin, which lets you either double up on a class or become a multi-class, so like fighter and wizard.
Right.
I believe Super Munchkin also lets you become like a half-elf or a half-dwarf or something like that, too. I think it lets you change your ranges and stuff like that. There's also bonus and enhancement cards. So, for example, you could, and this is kind of like the action cards in Flux, at any point in time, you can throw an action card down to help yourself or other people. You might be playing the long game where you're helping somebody acquire treasure, or maybe you want to get some more treasure so that you could beef your character up so that you know on your next round you can defeat a potential monster card that might be in your hand instead of one that you kicked down the door.
Right. So the way you do this is, say Eric over here is fighting his monster. He can't quite beat the monster. This monster is worth 3 treasures.
Matt, I need some help.
And if he says, I need some help, and I'm like, you know what? I will, for the first pick of the 3 treasures, I will make sure you beat this monster.
So he might have, either he might jump in and help, or he might just throw down a bonus card to give me a numeric bonus to defeat that creature. And then I have to give him a treasure.
Right.
And that's him being nice. Sometimes players will be like, give me all your treasure and I'll do it.
Sure. And you know, you... Let's say I wanted all the treasure, but the person across is like, I'll do it for 2 treasures. And the person beside him is like, I'll do it for the first pick of treasure. Then obviously he's going to do it for whatever works out best. He'll agree to the deal that works out best for him.
So bonus and enhancement cards are useful because you can throw that on your friends or your potential friends and yourself to win a battle. In addition to that, there's also one-shot items that you can maybe burn for a single use.
Sure.
And of course, and these are my favorite, the curse cards. Because you either get a curse and you are messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Or there is I guess they're not curses, they're monster enhancers. And you can throw that on there so that if someone's fighting a monster, now they become deadly to that person. And this is how you kind of get one over on somebody. So in addition to giving yourself a bonus, you can give a monster a bonus against your enemies. And that's always fun as well.
One of the things about the curses, if you will, is a lot of times the purpose of a curse is to raise the level of the monster, which will make them worth more treasure. And so
curses are usually bad, though, if I recall.
No, they always raise the level of the monster.
Okay.
Always. But if the person beats the harder monster, they get more treasure out of it.
Oh, that's right. So sometimes you might grab a curse anyway.
Sometimes you can use a curse on a monster you know you're going to beat, so that you get the extra treasure.
Again, well, some of the curses are things like you lose a level too.
That is just for the fight. You can play it on the PC or you could play it on the monster. I don't think it's...
No, I mean, so for example, if you flip the door,
oh, okay.
You get it, that activates automatically. Hmm. But you can collect some of those and throw that on somebody else too to lose a level, which is a great way to keep them from hitting level 10. Now, we've talked a lot about, you know, items and fighting monsters, getting to level 10, which they have like little D10s that you can, you know, keep track of your progress, which is nice. But there's another way that you can level up as well. Do you remember that one?
I don't.
You could sell your treasure.
Oh, that's right.
Because you're going to get a certain amount of gear and you're going to get a certain amount of cards. And after you start acquiring cards, there might be gear that maybe for an elf. Well, I'm not an elf. I'm a dwarf or I'm a human. Oh, there's halflings too. I forgot about those. So maybe I'm a halfling and I can't use this elf gear. I don't want this elf gear and I don't want to give it to anybody. So I'm going to, and each item has a value. And so you sell it. And I believe if you get to 1,000 gold, then you go up a level. So another way you can, especially if you're nearing level 9, on your turn, just
keep sandbag your treasure. Don't absolutely. Say anything, and then just throw down a handful of cards and walk away.
Because everybody's thinking about he's going to flip a card over, and I'm going to burn him.
Oh yeah.
And your whole intention is like, I'm not going to fight anything. I'm just going to sandbag and just buy my way into level 10. And so that's a great strategy as well. There's a lot of different strategies, and I know that Munchkin has a whole ton of different extra types of games, lots of enhancements and stuff. I don't own any of them,
right.
But I would definitely recommend that this is one of those games you could take to a group of people at a party. They're sitting around not doing anything. This is a really fun game. And honestly, it's a fun game to watch too.
It absolutely is. Now, Munchkin, you play this with people that you are friends with.
Yeah.
Because there will be the most love lost between strangers in a game of Munchkin. Somebody who has thought that they 100% has this thing in the bag and you burn them down with every card in your hand because you've done nothing but collect curses for the past 3 rounds.
Brother, it's going to get ugly.
Somebody's going to have a frowny face.
There might be a fight at the end of a Munchkin game. So you better be friends with the person that you're playing with because it might come to blows otherwise.
As the people you can comfortably trash talk around are the people you should play Munchkin with.
Yes, but I highly recommend that game.
Yep, absolutely. It's a lot of fun to play.
We got a couple more games as well, but let's take a quick break from our sponsors.
Okay.
This is a commercial break. If you guys would like to hear us review something like a product or service, or if you'd like us to cover something like a topic,
or if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd love to hear from you and have you contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
So write to us and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe not. And we're back.
Your last offering for this evening is a game that I love the concept of, but have never gotten to play nor see played. So tell us about I, Dark Overlord.
Matt, when you hear about this game, you're going to immediately want to play it this week. I'm not even joking. I love everything about this game. So I, Dark Overlord, you are the servants of an evil genius. And I believe in the game is called Rigor Mortis. So you return home after your umpteenth failed mission. And you basically have to justify yourself or your group of selves, if you're playing with multiple people, to your master, inventing stories and unlikely excuses and essentially throwing people under the bus. So the whole game is to, I believe you play as a bunch of goblins, at least from the pictures. You play as a bunch of goblins and you know, why have you've returned once again and you have failed me? Why have you failed me? And you have to make up a story of why you failed, why the heroes won. And that's the whole premise of I, Dark Overlord. It's great. It's best played with, I think, like at least 3 people, because you want a couple of minions and then you want the person that's the overlord.
Sure.
So the overlord is essentially, I guess, like a dungeon master in many ways. You set the story, you know, you basically play the overlord. You've returned to me. Why have you failed to insert the reason why? you know, whatever that evil plan is. And I believe there's cards that actually show what that evil plan happens to be.
All right.
I don't remember. Again, I'm not holding the cards in my hand. So the person who plays the evil genius has an important role. He's the person that holds the absolute power. And then all of the other servants are his to command. The idea behind this game is you've got specific cards as the minion that you can play, which are either excuses or ways that you can basically pass the buck on your fellow player so that they take the brunt of his displeasure. And then the overlord can then, if he doesn't like what he's hearing or she doesn't like what she's hearing, burn that person. You give him withering looks. And if you get three withering looks, then that the overlord has deemed that this person is responsible for them messing up, right? For the right. whole dark plan not coming together. So let's talk a little bit about these cards and kind of the mechanics of what's going on.
Okay.
So again, you start off, you play the Dark Lord. Why, you know, my minions are back. Why have you failed me, right? That's pretty much how it starts, regardless of the reasons. And sometimes you can get very improvisational with this. You can make stuff up. It's really mostly a storytelling game.
Why have you not stolen the MacGuffin of Nanu?
Yeah, and it's fast-paced, too, because you basically have to make stuff up on your feet. Now, you do have some interesting cards that can help you with that. You have hint cards are the first thing. Hint cards are literally narrative cues. They're just excuses. Oh, it wasn't me. It was play the card. Oh, the hero was triumphant because he had a holy sword. And so and it may just be a sentence. Sometimes it's a little bit more than that. Sometimes there's some visual aids with it as well. And you have to basically then take this cue and run with it. And you run with it until the overlord says, all right, that seems likely. What about you? Why is does this back him up? And then the other person has to go. Or if you flub your story, he might give you a withering look and then you move on to the next person. It's really up to the overlord to determine whether the person continues and just keeps suffering under his gaze or somebody else takes the mantle. Now, in addition to that, you have action cards, much like action cards in Flux, much like the immediate action cards that Munchkin has. But these are specifically designed to pass the buck. In fact, there is a card called Pass the Buck. Yeah. And I've played it before. It's like, yes, my overlord. Here, actually, Matt will be better able to tell you why we have failed you. And then you just play that card while you're making an excuse. And then that other person is put on the spot. It's awesome. There's another action card I remember called Freeze. And Freeze interrupts somebody else's story to really screw them over. And it's just you butting in.
Right.
So you have action cards, hint cards to help with the storyline, and then the overlord has withering looks. And you just play those when you're like, all right, this doesn't seem likely, or I don't like, or even I don't like the story.
Yeah.
I don't like what you're telling me. You're not making up enough good stuff. So I'm going to give you a withering look, move on to the next person. So it's a very fast-paced game. You can play it in like 5 minutes.
That sounds like fun. I would very much enjoy that.
It's really good with people who are quick-witted, who are devious, most of our friends,
right?
People who are gamers, people who like to tell a story or make stuff up. Like I said, play with a bunch of improvisers. It's amazing. In fact, I actually played this game first with a bunch of my improviser friends, and we played it a couple of times, and it was incredible. I loved every bit of it.
I would even watch a stage show of that. That would be great.
Oh, you could totally do that because it's different every time,
right?
I would recommend this at a party if it's a bunch of people that either you know or you kind of, you know, they're kind of, I guess, outgoing.
Yeah.
But you could play with a bunch of introverted people and get them kind of out of their shell as well. I think this would be, I just like the idea and the concept because it doesn't really have many rules. It's really just a game where you just make up a story.
Right.
The rules, quote unquote, are just ways to dramatically pass the story along to another player. So that if you're flubbing, pass the buck. Maybe you just can't come up with something off the top of your head. Or maybe the overlord is just grilling you incessantly and you're like, well, I'm going to lose if I don't pass the buck or something. Or maybe I need to stop the action or I need to go pee and you play that card and you go literally step away from the story for a second.
Right.
There's lots of different things you can do with that. And I believe there's multiple additions to iDark Overlord as well. And I'll look into that. If you guys happen to know, because I don't, and I'm not going to Google it right now, write to us, info@goblinscorner.com. Or you can reach me, Eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me at Matt@goblinscorner.com.
Without all those ads.
At.
Okay, so those are my three games. Flux, Munchkin, iDark Overlord. Wonderful games. Play them. They're fun at parties. I would definitely recommend all of those. We're not getting commissions off any of these games, by the way. We just play them enough that we own these games. Now, you've got a couple of games, one of which I've played, and I have not played Dungeon Mayhem.
That's a shame.
I know.
Dungeon Mayhem.
There's so many games.
I'll go ahead and start with Dungeon Mayhem.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Dungeon Mayhem is a game that is put out by Dungeons & Dragons. And basically, it is a battle royale card game.
I have something that D&D has made that I have not played?
Yes.
The thought.
I don't know how you haven't...
How have I not heard...
I don't know how you haven't played it when I own it, but we'll remedy that shortly.
For those of you who haven't seen photos of the studio, I literally have... How long is my bookshelf?
I'd say it's precisely 114 books of Dungeons & Dragons stuff.
I would probably believe that. I've got a giant bookshelf full of D&D stuff, all the versions.
It might be the exact sum 114 number that I made up earlier, but in this case, it seems very feasible.
Again, the serious face, you could totally pass the polygraph just telling me it's 114 books. I haven't even counted because I don't even remember. There's some Starfinder books on there too.
There are.
Some Pathfinder ones, yeah.
I didn't account for that. I'm sorry.
You didn't account for all the White Wolf ones on the bottom too.
Oh, well, no, we were talking about Dungeons & Dragons.
I know. Well, they're lurking in the shadows.
As they should be.
As they should be. Okay, continue with your Dungeon Mayhem game that I somehow have not played.
Okay, so the base box is you get four classes. Mm-hmm. The object is to kill everybody else that's playing. That's it. It is a battle royale game. It is super simple. Basically, you collect energy by either playing cards or you get one energy per round so that you can play cards that take one, two, or three energy.
So kind of like land cards in Magic the Gathering, sort of?
Kind of, but you automatically get one at the start of each round. The amusing thing is the classes' abilities are very much based off of class abilities for Dungeons & Dragons. A barbarian might be able to whirlwind attack and do one damage to everybody. Or the rogue can pickpocket and steal something from one of the other players.
Oh, that's interesting.
Things like that. It's a lot of fun. It is a super simple game to learn. They do have some expansions out now, one of which is the monster, which act as other classes, and another expansion, which is just more classes. Basically, for me, it is fun because it is super fast. It is super easy to learn. And I like games that are fun, lighthearted, but you still get to murder your friends.
I may have seen this game now that I think about it. It might have been like a Chatticon.
I don't know. I didn't go to Chatticon, so.
For those of you who don't know Chatticon, it's in Chattanooga. We used to call it Relaxicon because it's just a couple of people.
A couple.
Well, compared to DragonCon.
Sure. That's fair. Chatticon is the con that a lot of the DragonCon workers go to actually be able to be
drink,
at a con.
To drink and hang out.
Because they
don't.
Well,
we call it Relaxicon.
Yep.
And there's free beer in the con suite, which is another.
Sure. Who doesn't like that?
Who doesn't like free beer in a con suite? It's great. And the con suite is an amphitheater size room too.
Oh wow. By the way. Neat.
Oh yeah, it's a big auditorium I don't know if they changed it, but it was at the Choo Choo.
Well, it's nowhere at the moment.
Yeah.
Just like every other convention.
Everything is. I know. That's why we're.
They sigh.
That's why we're sighing. Oh well.
Okay. So.
So we've got a cup. So we've got four base classes, some expansions to do more classes. It's battle royale.
Super simple. You get 20 hit points. Everybody gets 20 hit points. There are items you can get to give you hit points back. There are skills you use to take away other people's hit points. The wizard might get a fireball to do damage to everybody, things like that. Oh, but it includes himself. He's in his own fireball.
Well, that's less than optimal.
We've played with those players, sir. But I can't belabor this game because it is that simple. It's literally the easiest game I think I've ever played. Besides, say, Go Fish or War, right? As far as a produced card game for anything, it is perhaps the easiest to play, and it is still a lot of fun.
Straight up D&D Brawl, huh?
Yep.
Nice.
But my other game.
Smash Up?
Smash Up.
Oh, Smash Up. I love this game, too.
Have you ever wanted to be a time-traveling ninja?
Every day.
How about, have you ever wanted to see dinosaur wizards?
It's
dragon superheroes, perhaps?
Dragon superheroes? Vampiric mutants?
Sure. All of these things are possible.
Zombie pirates. Don't forget the pirates.
Both of those. Also viable games. Or viable teams. Smash Up starts with you picking two teams from a group. Now, the base game starts with a measly 12 teams.
So we had what? Dinosaurs, robots, ninjas, pirates,
wizards, tricksters.
Uh-huh. I don't remember the tricksters.
They're fae.
Okay.
They call them tricksters. Wow. You're going to make me try and go through all of this. This is so hard.
And some more.
Yeah, I have multiple expansions, so it's very difficult for me to dig out that, separate them that way. The rules basically work like this. It is a very strategic game. It is also kind of battle royale based, and much in the way of most games, you get a creature card and there are action cards.
Mm-hmm.
You can play one creature card and one action card per round.
Have you noticed that our picks are, even though they're different games, they're pretty much the same style of play?
Well, you know, if mechanics work, then it's a lot easier to not screw with them. I get it. I don't blame anybody for that. That's just...
It also could be the nature of party games is to
have them playable enough that even if people are 5-6 drinks in, they still can play them.
Everybody understands a good battle royale.
Yep. The difference between Smash Up and most battle royales is you are not directly attacking other players. You pick your team, they pick their team, or teams, I should say. So you went with zombie pirates. You pick the zombies, you pick the pirates. Each of those teams are represented by decks. You shuffle those decks together, and you have your team. Each other player does this as well. After everybody's done that, you lay out bases. The bases are all based around the different teams. So you might have the Gray Pearl. You might have the Dojo for the ninjas, right? Each team is worth a specific number of points for when you break it. There are points for first place, second place, and third place. You break a base by placing enough creature cards on it to equal the cost of the base, if you will. Your object is to be in first, second, or third place, whichever one is worth the most points, and then to accrue 15 points by breaking bases.
So it's the first, it's not just the first person to the base, but the first person to be able to beat whatever lies on the base too.
Right. So if a base is worth 21 points, or 21, wow, that would be amazing. If a base costs 21 points, first place might be worth 3, second place might be worth 2, and third place might be worth 1. That is tallied up by how many points worth of creatures you have on the base. So if you've got 8 and somebody else has 7 and somebody else has 6,
then you're in first place.
First, second, third.
Yep.
It's simple math. The action cards are there to remove people's creatures from bases or move them to a different base.
Or numerically reorder things, depending upon, and this is important you should note also, depending upon the type of character cards you have. And what I mean by that is, for example, ninjas might do different mechanics than dinosaurs.
Absolutely. Dinosaurs are just, generally speaking, big number creatures. That's all they are. They have action cards as well, but the actual creatures themselves are just big number creatures. Whereas ninjas, as you said, okay, I play a 3-point ninja. In his little subtext, it says, kills 1, 2, or 1-point creature when played. So the second you put him on a base, you choose what creature you want it to murder if there's one there. If there's not, he doesn't get to do that when you play one. It's only when you play him. Unless, once again, the text specifically says otherwise.
And I think pirates did something different as well. I can't remember what pirates did.
Each individual creature can do different things depending on their text. One of the pirate ones is ridiculously good, which is when a base scores, normally every creature that's on that base gets put in their discard piles. But for some pirates, they just get to move to a different base.
Oh, that's right. So you don't have to rebuild your army to take another base.
They swing over.
They just keep on going.
Yep.
I remember that.
They grab the chandelier and swing to the next base.
So talk about a typical gameplay with Smash Up.
All right. I am a terrible human being, which means I like tricksters. And they have some moderately powered creatures, but generally their action cards are there not to help you so much as to hinder other people. There's also a geek faction, which is another trickster geek is my go-to. I'm feeling like a bastard today deck, because basically what it is cards that hinder people and ways to simply literally say no. The geek faction is one of the only ones that has a card that is Will Wheaton, and it's basically Will Wheaton says no.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. I think the first time I played was Dinosaurs and Pirates.
Sure.
I ended up taking over a couple of bases, just brutal dinosaurs, and then swinging some of my pirates over to the next base.
Yep. Dinosaurs are great if you just want to throw down those raw numbers.
And I remember the visuals in my head. All I could see is a bunch of swashbuckling people riding dinosaurs. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to run a campaign where that's just the day-to-day, where there are swashbucklers riding dinosaurs. And if you guys haven't, you should. Because A, pirates are great, and B, dinosaurs are even better.
And who doesn't want a plesiosaur navy?
Exactly. Or can you imagine like a captain with a tricorn hat? He's got an arquebus, and he's riding a T-Rex.
But is a T-Rex really piratey?
If he had an eye patch.
Fair. I was thinking...
Teach the T-Rex to call?
I was thinking water skiing behind a ichthyosaurus or something.
That's a good visual. I like that. Maybe an ankylosaurus that has a couple saddlebags that carry rum barrels.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
That's
some
totally
cannons.
Good. Yeah, some ship cannons. Or a ballista on the back of a ankylosaurus.
Yeah, I mean, if you dress them right and you made them, if you went that route with them, they could absolutely be land pirates. Why not?
Dress them right. Put a shiny hat on them. Eye patch. Everything's better with an eye patch.
Wooden armor with cannons and
stuff?
Absolutely. Boom.
We've got a game to
write. Dino pirates.
We've got a game to write, Matt. We're going to have to make a module that literally is
Dino Pirates.
Call it Dinosaurs and Pirates. That's what we're going to call it. We've got this. Great. So this is another good game that you can play. What would be the number of people you would probably play with this? Because I do remember there were, 12 different in just the one expansion, and you've got a ton more expansions. So you could theoretically play with a lot of different people if you wanted.
Depends on how much time you have, is my quick answer to that. The more people you have, the longer this game takes to play one round. The object is to get to 15 points. You're spreading those points amongst multiple people. Obviously, more people, more time.
And it's 3-2-1 once you've taken a base, right?
It depends on the base.
Oh, that's right.
It very much depends on the base.
Well, in that case, it could be 5 points. What's the most a base was worth?
Technically, there is a point. There is a base that is worth as many points in creatures as you have on it when it scores. And so you could literally, if you were a scheming rat, win the game by just scoring that base.
But you would never do that.
That would be wrong.
Totally wrong.
And I'd never, sir. I am insulted.
Awesome. So we have 5 different games that we have given you. And did you have a third that you wanted to talk about?
Well, we were talking about card games and parties, and you kind of dipped into it for a second there.
Oh, yeah, the collectibles.
Collectible card games are fantastic at parties, as long as everyone knows how to play. And I know the monolith in the room for a lot of people is Magic. And Magic is a great game. I would never denigrate it. I played many, many, many times for many years. And I still have a fair collection at the house. But all the games in general, if half the people you know are Pokemon fan, man, break out the cards. Play some Pokemon.
If they don't know how to play, teach them how to play Pokemon.
Yep. You got Yu-Gi-Oh. Absolutely. And now there's games for everything.
I can't keep track anymore.
Oh, I started to look it up for this because I was like, oh, you know, I'll just do 2 or 3. No, there are 1,500,016 games that are collectible cards.
Says that with a serious face, guys. He could totally pass the polygraph right now. Just telling. I believed you. Absolutely. No, but seriously,
there's nearly a game for each person.
There's so many games that we, being experts in what we do, and experts meaning that A, we have a podcast where we say we're experts, and B, we actually have some expertise in what we do, but even we can't keep track. We can't.
Oh, no.
And rather than be a bad thing, I think that's a wonderful thing, because those are games that I have yet to play that I can.
Not just that, but I am aware of the fact that not all of these games will be for me. I will not be interested in them. But for every game that I love, somebody else doesn't like it, but there's a game for them. There is a game for everyone.
So get some friends, play some card games, preferably when this whole plague settles down.
That is one of the things I despise about this plague so much. I mean, there are so many things, but one of them is the lack of social contact that we can manage with people.
Now, there are some online card games you can also play with your friends too.
You can play Magic online. I know that. Hearthstone from Blizzard. I know you can play that.
Yep.
I'm assuming, folks, please, on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, just to help other people out. If you know of some collectible card games that you would like other people to play with you, then please post them, because I honestly don't know probably even a fraction of them.
Tell us, we'll share it with everybody else.
Sure.
All right. We've given you guys a couple of really interesting games. Hopefully you'll play some of them. You may have already played them. If you do, great. If you like them, tell us about it. Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com. Or if it's something that you don't like, tell us as well. We'd like to know why. We personally like these games. You may not. But as we mentioned before, there are so many card games out that you can bring to a party, or you can bring to a gathering, or even play online, that are interesting. Some of them, as we mentioned, some of them are just straight FU games where you can just mess with your friends. Some of them are more strategic. And some of them are just storytelling based. And all of them are fun to play. Go buy some games. Have some fun with those games. And do something different. Try something new.
I'm a big fan of that. New things. I love new things.
All the games, guys. Yes. All the games. I believe that's it for our show for today. We would love to hear from you. So please, drop us a line. Where can they reach us at, Matt?
They can reach us on Facebook.
That's true.
At the Goblins Corner Facebook, or they can reach us at the Goblins, or at Goblins Corner. I keep wanting to add the.
You got too many of these, too many ads. Yeah. You can reach us at Goblins Corner on Twitter. And as you mentioned, there's Facebook. You can also reach us, goblinscorner.com. We also have Instagram, Pinterest. Give us a week. We'll probably have something else.
Sure.
We're on all the things.
We'll do some TikTok. Why not?
Drop us a line.
We will not do TikTok.
We're not doing TikTok. You can also email us, info@goblinscorner.com, for any general questions, comments, fan mail. You can also email me, Eric, @goblinscorner.com, or
me, Matt, @goblinscorner.com.
That's it for today. So long. Thanks for all the fish.
See you soon.
The Goblins Corner has been written and produced by Eric Holden
and Matt Staples.
D20 did our music.
And this is, in fact, a Subterranean production.
Your voice is so low.